This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Your Radio Doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, products, physicians, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on Your Radio Doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor. On call every Saturday afternoon at 5. This is Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Radio Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Every week on the show, we have an in-depth discussion about a medical topic and current therapies. But it's also important to talk about other influences on your health and well-being. One opportunity that can have many positive effects is volunteering. Just maintaining a busy schedule can fill the average person's day, leaving little, if any, time to volunteer. But once you hear all the benefits, we hope you reconsider. Of course, giving of your time can help people in need, support a worthy cause, or strengthen your community. But there's great evidence to show a strong positive relationship between volunteering and personal well-being. You can make new friends, including people from other backgrounds outside your own community or workplace. You can also learn new skills. In addition, volunteering can reduce stress, distract you from depression, stimulate an aging mind, and provide a sense of purpose. Joining us today are two very special guests from Independence Blue Cross, the leading health insurance company in the Philadelphia region. Dr. Dario LaRocca is a psychiatrist, behavioral health medical director at Independence, and Ms. Courtney McDade is director of public affairs programs at Independence. Welcome, Dario and Courtney. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. So we'll begin the show with Dario. Welcome again, Dario. What are some of the ways that volunteering can help both our physical and mental health?
Well, some are pretty obvious. Just getting out of the house and changing the environment that you're in can make a major difference. The exercise that takes, but also the sense of doing something on your own time. You know, while you go to work, you depend on paycheck, you depend on what your boss wants to do. Volunteering, it's on your own time, and you can volunteer as much, for the most part, or as little as you want. And that's, I think, gives everybody a sense of empowerment. I think that's one thing that people tend to underestimate. I mean, you're not going there because you have to meet a certain quota. Again, there are exceptions. Kids today are expected to volunteer. There is more of a push to do that early in life. But really where the benefits have been studied is later in life. And there's been a number of research studies done mainly in the United Kingdom, but also here in the United States, about the benefits for blood pressure, benefits for physical health, circulation, and of course the mental health side, which is what I see the real benefits. Getting out of your own world and trying something different or bringing your expertise to others can really reinforce a sense of self and of self-worth that is surprising. A lot of times people don't think that they have anything to offer, but once they start to do something where they're needed, where volunteering makes a difference, even just going to the library and reading to kids can make a dramatic difference in someone's life and give them a sense of importance and self-worth. So self-esteem is very much tied in with volunteering and a sense of being part of a community. Churches have known this for centuries. That's why they often get people to join and do things for the community. It gives them a sense of feeling part of something beyond themselves. And that, of course, especially as you get older, becomes more and more important to feel like there's more to life than just your everyday needs.
And what am I leaving behind? And I know those references you mentioned, that volunteers, I guess in the long run, you could say, might have a lower mortality rate if they have lower blood pressure, then that's going to be less stress on their hearts. And sometimes it's a good distraction from chronic pain,
Yes, well, chronic pain, but also depression, as mentioned before. If you're getting out and being with people, it may be difficult to push yourself, but once you're out there, it can really alleviate this sense of isolation and desperation that comes with depression. Most of the studies were done pre-pandemic, and I would say that even more so since the COVID pandemic, people have a need to be with other people. While younger generations are much more comfortable doing things online through the computer, social media, older adults really miss that personal interaction. And I've seen with a lot of my patients and heard from a lot of my colleagues that going out and volunteering is a way that you can do this on your own time and you have more control over it. The empowerment that volunteering gives to the person, I think, is sometimes underestimated because you don't have to do it. If you don't really want to do it that day, or if you want to take some time off from it, you can. It's not like work or you know, following what your boss has to say. You can do pretty much the amount of volunteering that you want. The other side of it is,
I was just going to say, if we could focus on that word for 1 second, sorry to interrupt, but empowerment is so overly used. We see it all over the internet and but in this case, it's like those people who retire and they've been on the treadmill of work for years. What do I do with myself now? But there's something special about saying, this is an opportunity, and today I really want to do it, and I enjoyed it yesterday, but tomorrow I might sleep in late, or I might meet a friend for breakfast. That one pivot alone, it's obvious that you're going to make new friends. You might learn new skill sets as well as bring in your own skill sets, depending where you are in life. Like a retired person might say, hey, I've done tons of business plans. Let me help that nonprofit that needs, you know, a little help with restructuring or an algorithm, right? Or it has to reduce stress and your own anger and anxiety. Yes. When you're volunteering for needy people and you say, whew, I thought I was having a bad day. They don't have any food. They don't have diapers for their children. Mm-hmm. It goes on, and you can make it what you want, which I think is important after answering to a boss or answering to a tight schedule your whole life, yes?
Yeah, that makes a big difference. And also, I think one of the things that volunteering has, for me and for my patients, has been very helpful is it brings families together. So a lot of times, especially with teenage kids, there's a tension that's in the home, and the dialogue just doesn't progress. But if you volunteer, even just volunteering on the softball team or volunteering in the library to read books to kids, you see the other family member in a different light. And actions speak louder than words. So seeing your parent, your father helping with the softball team and coaching changes the parameter in the relationship a lot of times. It can be very helpful, especially if there's tension in the home. Getting out, doing something different, shaking up the paradigm can make changes that otherwise I hadn't seen before. So I've really been a big proponent of families volunteering together, going to the soup kitchen around Thanksgiving. That can really bring families closer because then they start to realize that there's more to their family that they thought, and also that people out there are struggling and helping them is satisfying. For most people, being able to make a difference is important.
It makes you happy. It makes you feel good. And,
yes, it does.
I think for younger people, it increases their confidence that they feel like they were able to contribute and that they learned something new even about themselves or meeting other people that need their help and say, hey, thanks a lot. You made a difference in my life. So that sense of accomplishment, a sense of pride, even a sense of identity. Let's say there's a young person, I don't want to say a kid, but, you know, a grade schooler, yes, or a high schooler that isn't a star on an athletic team, but they get out and they feel really valued in a volunteer situation. And I think a lot of young people in high school trying to get into college, college trying to get into grad school, and, you know, how much service. You don't want them to feel pressured. You want them to enjoy it or find the positives. And that's the thing that, you know, you have to do 40 hours of service this year. You don't want kids to find it to be a drudgery. We're going to talk a little bit more about working together as a family, because I think that's another important discussion here.
Yes, and I think one of the things, especially since the pandemic, while kids are very savvy and can communicate well on the computer and text back and forth, they've lost, especially there's a concern in the mental health field for young kids, that they've lost that ability to relate to others, the body language. They don't pick up as quickly the cues. So by volunteering, it's a safe environment where they can start to practice again and do things a little differently. And that can sometimes be very helpful also within the school system, where then they start to see that they have certain skills and they have the ability to relate to adults or elderly. Volunteering in senior citizen centers, singing Christmas carols, or just going to visit senior citizen centers for kids can be very eye-opening, and it can be quite a benefit to the elderly who see kids and they feel already a lot better. So
they melt.
Getting together makes a big difference.
So that brings up my next question. You know, we've said that you're a psychiatrist. When you see patients with mental health issues, is that, we don't do it for therapy, but might that be a direction you'd steer them in and say, think about volunteering? Does that give them a relative sense of, here I am, here's where they are?
Well, there's that, but also there's a sense that we're a community, that there's all different types of people out there, there's all different types of needs, and also you can learn from anyone. I think that's what is most surprising. I remember dealing with an executive who was retired and felt very depressed and felt like they had nothing to offer. But once he started to go out, and he in particular started doing English as a second language for a lot of immigrants, and he felt very much validated, and he was also able to pick up again on some of his high school French and get back to that, and I think they both benefited from that. And so sometimes you can be surprised of what simple things can make a big difference in people's lives, and that in itself is very rewarding.
Well, it feels good to do the right thing. And we had a conversation the other day, and I thought this was interesting that you sort of pointed this out, that for young people, they're our future. We want to teach them to have empathy, sympathy and empathy, because we're building the generation for the future, and we want to boost their social skills, which we could do 10 shows on talking about the loss of nuance and social interaction. Do they even know how to make a phone call and say please and thank you? Working people might be able to enhance their careers. Let's say you work in an office and you're working side by side in a soup kitchen with your boss, and you have a different relationship, and it might help interactions in the workplace later, because now you're learning teamwork, communicating, problem solving, task management in a different setting, which is really
I think
cool.
That's what's been nice about Blue Crew, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that, is that you have that opportunity where I work at Independence Blue Cross to really see people in different lights than in their work world.
Plus, people can probably have the opportunity to learn, improve their public speaking or marketing skills. Those things that come with in a new working environment that you can come and go at your own and do a little bit. Do an hour here, a day there. And then, as you say, for older people, it certainly keeps from feeling isolated, because retired people bring many different skill sets and can feel useful and find a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, more from Dr. Daria LaRocca from Independence Blue Cross.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
And welcome back to your Radio Doctor. Terrific discussion today with Dr. Dario LaRocca, a psychiatrist and behavioral mental health director for Independence Blue Cross. And our topic is volunteering. There are so many potential benefits, Dario. We talked about just making you happier or a distraction from your own problems. And you don't want people, you can't fix depression overnight, but this is certainly a constructive, positive way to help people. And as a psychiatrist, you often suggest it to your patients.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And to families. I think it's very important. Actions speak louder than words. And getting the family to go out and do things together. And it can be something simple as like cleaning up the park or helping with the recycling. I mean, there are many different areas where, especially kids today, focus on the environment that if the family does it as a group, it can really firm up their relationships, and they can see how they interact with others, how they deal with the environment, how they deal with people, with kids, how they deal with others. Yeah. So I think that's definitely there.
Like in certain communities have community gardens.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have to be a contest, but it's kind of cool when you see, you learn from other people's plantings. Or we did a show, gosh, it's about 2 years ago now, on pet therapy.
Yes.
And your mental health. It's not just for, you know, stress and that kind of thing, but just how pets can lower your blood pressure as you pet them and that sort of thing. There's so much evidence on that. Yep. So walking a dog for a shelter, or as you say, helping a children's camp, reading books, going to a nursing home. If you can play the piano and you can play at a nursing home or a children's hospital, all these things. So you were bringing up again the good point about families and how volunteering together. Your yep. children see, if you go with your children and they say you walking the walk and not just telling them to go yes. finish your mandatory service hours.
That makes, I think, a very important point there that you've just made is really showing with action what you intend. And that can be very helpful for kids who, especially adolescents who focus so much on words. If you can show them with your actions that you're willing to help the environment by volunteering, or you're willing to be involved in softball or whatever sport the kid is in, and you volunteer as a coach or as an assistant coach, that makes a major difference than just saying things or telling them. And then they also see how you interact with other people, other kids, and they get a different sense of who you are. And that's what I think is most rewarding for families, is to see how parents, how kids work together and how they work with others. And I think a lot of times the fear, the anxiety of performing, of doing something is diminished when you're doing it as a volunteer versus having to do it for school or having to do it for work. And a lot of times, especially when I'm dealing with people who have a fear of public speaking or have a fear of being in public, even, you know, social anxiety disorders, I push them to volunteer, because then they can do it at their pace and do it slowly and progressively. A lot of what we encourage today in the mental health field is exposure therapy. In other words, confront your fears, go out there and do things in the safe, controlled way initially, especially, but do these things instead of avoiding them, hiding at home, and isolating more. So a lot of times, even when people are preparing for a speech or preparing to do a presentation at work, I encourage them to go out and practice that with friends, or to volunteer and read in public to kids in the library. And that has been very helpful for a lot of people.
You know, if people don't hear anything else today, that is such a brilliant tip, that you're not under pressure. You're not going to be docked your paycheck or lose your job. You're right there. And if you can improve your own, approach your own fears with interacting yes. with people different from yourself, or they're there, they're grateful that you're showing up. And when you have your children see how you interact with other people, with animals, or try to enact change, all of those things show your children. Plus, you're going to see your children in a different light as well. And as you said so brilliantly, in a family that really doesn't communicate well and they're not talking, that might be the icebreaker that breaks a quagmire. Yes?
Yeah, that's what I've seen happen many a time. And I think the other thing is that you got to pace yourself. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to volunteer and not have any real downtime. But that's the beauty of it. You can make the decision to go or not to go, as we mentioned before. And I think the other thing is that once you start getting more familiar with the community you live in, you appreciate more what you have and what other people have to offer. And you might not want what they have, but at least you can sort of see how people get by. And different cultures, different religions. It's been very, I think, especially since the pandemic, very much of an eye-opener, because we all tend to isolate more and more these days with the computer and see what we want to see on the computer. But if we go out there, even just for a walk in the community, join a hiking group or whatever, and look for flowers or birds or whatever, all these activities open us up to what is out there instead of just looking at it through a screen, through a computer screen.
You just said something very interesting. Everything you say is interesting, but that you see what you want to see on your computer. It's all by what you click. We are exposed to things that pop up, but usually by an algorithm. If you shop at such and such a department store, then other similar store pop-ups will come. But you're right about that you are forced to see other people, other cultures, other flowers, nature, and it's outstanding. And then you get to know about the resources in your community for your children and your family. That's another thing that I don't think people would realize. Like if you start volunteering at the library, there are so many terrific programs at libraries that people don't even conceive of. The pandemic. I mean, we can blame that for so many things, but there have been silver linings. And this is one of those things that we say, okay, we've learned we don't like to be isolated. As a rule, people are gatherers. People like to be together. And because our work days have been extended, hey, if you're remote, then you don't have to commute. Let's start a meeting at 7 and let's go till 6. And so it's a false reassurance that we have this extra time, but we're filling every millisecond and people are walking around with their phones in their hands. But there is a value. I think people are realizing to get back in the community, get back in touch, have people. You can form your own new connections.
Yep.
With people you'd never dream of.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised how that happens. I think one of the things that we lose with virtual communication is body language. And a lot of kids today are not really as attuned to body language as I would, dare I say it, we were when we were kids. I mean, all it took was my mom looking one way and I knew I was in trouble. Now, everybody counts on texting, on seeing things on the computer, on hearing something. Observing people, observing even animals, how they interact with one another and with nature, can really open up a whole new world, which, we once took for granted. But today, kids are not getting that. They're not in the backyard making up their own fantasies. They're on the computer being exposed to what the people on the computer want them to see, or what they want their families to sell or to push some agenda. Once you're out in nature, though, you really start to appreciate what's there, and you appreciate the people that are out there. You appreciate the birds. It's really been shown over and over again, especially for older adults, but even for kids, the value of being in nature, of being out there and connecting with your environment.
Yeah, well, and I always joke, but I say to my medical students, pick up your phone and call me. Don't expect, if you get a text and it says, nice hair, does it mean nice hair or does it mean nice hair? You don't know. You don't get the inflection. You don't know if it's a compliment or, an insult. And when people now are breaking up by text or they're hiding behind emails in a work setting, meeting canceled. What? I spent 3 hours preparing, this 5-minute presentation or 3 nights probably.
Yes.
ka-ching, and they're hiding behind it. And, you know, you would know better than I, because you're a psychiatrist. You have to experience the lows in life to really appreciate the highs. You can't, every day
Certainly.
Can't be a 10. So when you're in a work setting or a family setting, there will be uncomfortable moments, and not confronting, but being willing to step up and say, I made a mistake, or this is really
sure.
uncomfortable, but I want to break up with you. You have to live through those moments to really be a full person. Am I right? So we're avoiding
yes.
all those opportunities
yep.
to feel, even if it's a sad or a negative. You got to go through them.
Yeah. But
to be
the
real.
Other reality is things change. And this is how people are communicating, and they will continue to communicate this way. We're not going to go back. I wish I could say, you know, we're going to go back to the way things were. So
I agree.
We have to learn. And this is another area we're volunteering to, you know, do a computer class at the library for people to learn how to communicate even through texting, through computers. It's what people are doing today.
Maximize what they
yeah.
have. Yeah.
So finding that balance is, I think, really what's important between the old
yeah.
way of communicating, which is more face-to-face, and now having to deal, especially a lot of the elderly like myself, deal with how to text and how to communicate and respond and learning all the nuances or some of the nuances of the computer.
Sure.
It's here to stay.
Even telehealth.
Oh, definitely.
People want to say, oh, can I pop on? And I say, if your car were making a noise, I'd want to lift the hood and look inside. If you have belly pain, I need to put my hands on the radio. I need to touch your belly and listen to your heart and lungs. So where do people find opportunities? There are so many. I made a list myself.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find your patients going?
Well, again, I think the things that are closer, like libraries, I think that there's a resurgence of libraries. I think that's a great place to really get connected with your community. Parks, a lot of times they're softball games or pickup games that just happen there with basketball, whatever, and just going there and watching and participating in those places which every community has. The other is, believe it or not, is starting to go back to basics, like, you know, looking where there's pets, like going to a pet park,
mm-hmm.
looking to a local veterinarian hospital or a local hospital. You can really see things
yes.
there. Of course, they're more established community places, community centers, churches. These are all places where activities start, and you can find
mm-hmm.
book clubs, you can find movie clubs. There's so many things that you can join. But I think one of the things that is often overlooked are like historical parks.
Yes.
And I think going to sort of battlefields, I know a lot of boys, young men are interested in that, and making a family trip there and sort of using that as a catalyst to maybe do other things, even participate in some of these mock sort of battles. And that really, I think, I remember one patient and his son was really there. So that can make a difference. But they're all over.
Well, these are fantastic, mm-hmm. fantastic ideas, Dario, including museums, monuments,
yes.
wildlife centers,
yep.
animal shelters, all great ideas. I want to thank you for joining us today you've really, hopefully, inspired a lot of people to jump on, even if it's an hour
sure.
a week.
Yeah, give it a try. That's what I say. You know, again, you're empowered. You can do it as much as you want.
Great advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Dario.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. Just download the Odyssey app and search Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, now Saturday afternoons at 5, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC.
Welcome back to Your Radio Doctor. We're learning so much about the values of volunteering. And I want to introduce our next guest, Ms. Courtney McDade. Welcome, Courtney. She's the Director of Public Affairs Programs at Independence. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So we actually have highlighted people in the Blue Crew, Independence Blue Cross, the Blue Crew. What a beautiful, such a clever name. Tell us about the Blue Crew, what it is, who participates, and all the good things you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Blue Crew is Independence Blue Cross's corporate volunteer program. And it began more than 20 years ago. It was one of the first corporate volunteer programs here in our region. And through this program, our employees, their families, and even our retirees, which I know Dario talked a little bit about, are able to volunteer their time and their talents to support nonprofit organizations in our region. I would say who participates. We say that everybody is a member of the Blue Crew. You just have to volunteer. It is really primarily current IBX associates. And as I said, sometimes members of their family will join different activities that we're doing. Last year, we had 1,600 of our employees participate in at least one Blue Crew project. They donated upwards of 6,200 hours of service to our community, which is pretty incredible.
Oh, my goodness. How many employees are there, I guess, in the Philadelphia region?
I want to say maybe it varies a little. I want to say around 4,000. So I want to say around, 30% of folks last year participated. Wow. And we're always looking to, to top that figure.
But when I think of Independence, I don't think of it as an insurance company. I think of it as a pillar of Philadelphia. Independence is involved in every aspect of our city, our community, and in ways that people can't even imagine. And as you say, your corporate social responsibility is the expression that companies use now, but yours is 20 years old, long before CSR became an emblem, I guess, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's always been there. And
absolutely.
It's fantastic, the work that has been done and how it's grown. It's incredible.
We've said that we've been doing it from the beginning for more than 85 years. We're a mission-driven company, and our mission is to enhance the health and well-being of the communities we serve. And I think the Blue Crew really embodies that. That's an opportunity for our employees to live our mission, in service to the community.
Well, and as you say, you're interested in health and well-being. And if you want to have a healthy company with production and all those good things, you want a healthy work staff. And we just spent two great segments with Dr. LaRocca, and we learned all the benefits, mental health, physical health, to volunteering. So I understand why the Independence associates, as you call your employees, volunteer in the Blue Crew. Why is it important to Independence to have the Blue Crew?
As I said, it's always been at the heart of who we are and part of our culture. It starts with our leadership, and that really manifests its way on down. There's a lot of benefits to volunteering, as Dario talked about physical and mental health. But for us as an employer and as an organization, the benefits are there as well. It feels good to give back, even if it's just a couple hours. But it's a great way to meet new people and meet new coworkers. It's a great, team builder. We have a lot of teams that will go out as a group, and it's a way for them to connect outside of the office, get to know each other in a new setting, all levels, throughout. It's a great way to develop new skills. We have some folks who, whether it's through nonprofit board service or we connect them with skills-based projects, helping out nonprofits that might have, say, like a business challenge. It's a way to gain some new skills or learn about a new organization, or a new cause that you don't encounter in your day-to-day life. It's really important for us too, again, as a healthcare company, for our employees to be out in the community and really understanding, the needs of the different communities that we serve. And I think that perspective is so important and helps shapes the work that they do every day in the office.
And that's what I was hoping you'd emphasize, because when you go out into a different setting, if you are in a workplace 5 days a week or however often, although we don't have that advantage of some if we're hybrid or we're remote, but just assume you know somebody in a certain setting. And then just like we talked about in the last segment, when parents and children go out together, you see each other in a different light. And you might find that there's somebody in the office who's quiet, or maybe you don't always get along with them. And then you work together in a different setting and you find a common bond, or you look at each other differently. That's awesome. That is psychiatry plus, plus, plus.
Agreed. Yes. Yeah? Those connections are so important. That networking is so important. It's really great for people's development, you know, personally and professionally, to be able to do that. And people, when you put on that, you know, Blue Crew t-shirt, you know, you could be with, you know, an executive leader, you know, to, you know, someone that's working on our enrollment, and you're all working on the same task. You're all getting to know each other in that setting, and having that connection, you know. And that's not even getting into kind of the cause and the organization and the impact that that work's having on the community,
right,
and getting that experience too.
Their common bond is seeing that they're helping in a community garden or a shelter or in food raising, you know, collecting canned goods or whatever it is. Then they have a common bond now. And
absolutely,
it's going to make the workday more efficient, more effective, and more fun. I mean, there has to be fun in life. And I think that's fantastic. So what are some of the major organizations that the Blue Crew supports? Because I know there are cajillions.
There are so many. And, you know, we do, you know, pride the program on being, you know, driven by our associates and also, you know, driven by the needs of the different nonprofits that are based here in southeastern Pennsylvania, and really working to make sure we're addressing, you know, true needs and true impacts. But some of the more regular partners that we've, you know, been able to work with over many, many years include, you know, Ronald McDonald House of Philadelphia. We're part of the Serve with Love program, have been for many years. So we have a group that goes out every month to serve, to prepare and serve dinner to the families that are staying at the house. We work with many food insecurity organizations. One of the big ones is Share Food Program, which actually supplies a lot of the local smaller food pantries in our region. But they're also a volunteer-driven organization. They rely on volunteers to do their operations every day. So we have a group that goes out there, you know, one Saturday a month, and then we have a lot of teams that, you know, fill in as different needs come up there. We work with MANA. They do medically tailored meals, again, another organization that really that runs on volunteer manpower. So we have staff or volunteers there working in their food distribution center, helping to prepare the meals and do their daily, you know, work output. Another wonderful one I could go on, but Cradles to Crayons is another really special partner. They provide, you know, clothing essentials to children throughout our region. They have a huge giving factory, it's called. So they have volunteers and volunteer groups, you know, there year-round. And we have a lot of groups and large groups that go out there to help them process the various donations that will go out to the kids throughout the region.
And no matter whether it's a stray, well, I was going to say a stray pet, but put that on the back burner too. Little children, there but for the grace of God. You know, if you were born into a family that is supportive and has resources to help you, and then you see families with little babies, they need help. It's not their fault that their circumstances are not their fault. And we are called to help the least of our brothers. But I love the idea of MANA. In fact, I had MANA as our champion one week because medically tailored meals, every other medical topic you hear about, obesity or processed foods, bump your risk for multiple cancers, how much alcohol is safe. All these things are incorporated by you as health insurance providers and MANA. It's hand in glove for you to work with MANA. It's fantastic.
It is. And again, they are run by volunteers. Those meals that are prepared and distributed, those are prepared every day by volunteers. So it's very special that, you know, we're able to, in a small part, you know, compared to their overall scope of work, that we're able to, in a small part, support that volunteer work and operation.
Beautiful. Let's take a little break. And when we come back, more on volunteering with Independence Blue Cross.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back to our final segment of Your Radio Doctor. We're here with Ms. Courtney McDade, Director of Public Affairs Programs at Independence Blue Cross, and learning how you can become involved with their Blue Crew. And Courtney, we want to talk about your employees themselves, your associates at Independence. They're in so many fantastic programs and organizations, nonprofits, in helping. Are there other ways in which your employees or associates volunteer their time and expertise outside of those nonprofits?
Absolutely, yes. I know I mentioned several, longstanding partnerships and organizations that we work with. We worked with around 60 different nonprofits throughout southeastern Pennsylvania just last year alone. And there's many, many other, wonderful organizations, from very, very small to, the very large and more well-known. Beyond volunteering, with these Blue Crew organized projects, we encourage our employees to participate in what we call independent volunteer activities. And that's really, find a local nonprofit or organization in your community that meets your interests and that's close to your heart. We have a really awesome system where people can log those hours, and we do offer some recognition opportunities for those that choose to track that time they spend volunteering on their own. So that could be stuff like nonprofit board service, doing some more skills-based pro bono work, coaching, a youth sports little league team or a sports league team, or helping at your church's food pantry, just to name a few.
So without saying how does the Blue Crew help the Philadelphia community, it's pretty obvious that there are pseudopods in every direction, and so clever. 60 various nonprofits, and then you're asking your associates to go out and find their own as well. It's pretty magical.
Absolutely.
So it's been well established for at least 20 years, but it does seem unique. Am I right? Is your program unique in some ways?
I think that we are. I think we are very unique. As we said, we're one of the first corporate volunteer programs founded here in this region. We really, have a huge footprint in terms of the commitment, we've been able to make here locally in this region, and the number of organizations we've engaged and the number of people that have participated. I think at the end of the day, it's really, listening to the needs of our nonprofits in the community and being genuine and authentic in that. And likewise, listening and understanding, the interests of our associates and trying to find the sweet spot between the two and having that commitment our leadership to do that.
Yeah, it makes sense. So we talked a little about in the last segment about the value of families volunteering as a unit, as children seeing their parents and parents look at their children in a different light when they see that their little child. I know we have a new grandson, and that's the 5-year-old and 3-year-old, big brother and sister are all excited, but you can guess that they might feel like, are they going to get a little less attention from mommy? But my 5-year-old grandson said to my daughter the other day, can I hold the baby before I go to camp today? And she said, sure. She held him and he started to rub his eyes and he said, mommy, I think I'm crying tears of joy. Yeah. And this is a little 5-year-old boy. And if they can see other people who are hurting and bring them a little joy, they're going to be a much different adult. Yes?
Absolutely. I relate to that. I'm a mom to a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, so I know the age well. And yes, instilling that, that passion, in kids at a young age, I know I am very excited for that. And then also just being able to spend that time with my family and my kids.
So doing
a park cleanup. Again, my 5-year-old's a little young for a lot of activities. There could be age restrictions depending on the activity, but there are so many things even for a very young age like that. Like we're doing a park cleanup in September. I can't wait to bring my son. He's going to get to meet so many of the people that I work with, get introduced to the Blue Crew. They're going to have the young ones doing some sprinkling of flour and seeds and stuff. So it'll be his first time, experiencing the Blue Crew in a volunteer project. And I know that's something that's so special to all of our employees, and being able to do that and introduce their kids to that.
That's adorable, really. And if people outside of Independence want to get involved, I should ask a couple questions, I guess. How would they contact you, or how can they learn from your example? Can they get involved and jump on board with your programs that go out to the community? Or second question, do you list the nonprofit organizations that you're involved with on your website?
We share a little bit about that. I would say that, you know, the things that we're doing through the Blue Crew specifically are really curated for our own employees, but I can offer many, sure, many resources and inspiration for people that are hearing this conversation and, you know, thinking about volunteering. There's so many, as I said, from very, very tiny to the very large, well-known nonprofits that are operating in our, you know, in our regions and that are, you know, relying on volunteers. So whether it's, you know, you're looking to do something just for a few hours to, you know, making a more long-term commitment. But I had mentioned a couple organizations that, you know, we work with regularly. And again, they rely on volunteers to perform their day-to-day operations. And so they're really actively recruiting and, you know, in need of people to sign up. Most of them have, you know, through their websites an actual, like, a volunteer sign up where folks can, you know, sign up for a shift, pick a day, you know, get that information. And so I know particularly in the summer months, and we're, you know, in mid-July, that they struggle a little bit with volunteer, sure, recruitment. So I would, you know, mention a couple of those again, you know, MANA, Share Food Program. I know Ronald McDonald House, you know, is always looking for volunteers to serve dinner or serve breakfast through Serve with Love, Cradles to Crayons. But, you know, beyond that, I would say, you know, maybe your own employer has a corporate volunteer program, you know, similar to the Blue Crew. That's pretty common. And, you know, so that could be one resource. There's a lot, mm-hmm, of really wonderful civic resources. The Mayor's Office of Civic Engagement and Volunteer Service is a repository of like active nonprofit calls for volunteers. So that's a great, you know, starting point for a lot of different things. You can check out, you know, depending on where you live, some more local resources. I'm in Delaware County, so the Foundation for Delaware County shares a lot of resources about the nonprofits, you know, in Delaware County and what their needs are. You know, I mentioned some bigger organizations, but even, you know, every town has, you know, big and small, you know, a food pantry or a program like that. So again, there's, you know, kind of no place, you know, there's so many places to, you know, to look and to get information. Those are just a couple, you know, that I would offer up as a good starting point.
Exactly. And you know what, you just listed so many great options. The mayor's office, your county, Delaware County or Montgomery County, wherever you live. Is it Mother Teresa who told us that you can't help the whole world, but you can be the whole world to a few people. And anything you do is a positive for those people who really need help. How do some of the nonprofits, do they ever reach out to you, or do you learn about them and reach out to them? How does that work? Are there organizations that tap on your shoulder and say, we could use some help?
It's a little bit of both. You know, organizations do know of our volunteer program and, you know, we'll, you know, take those opportunities and see if it could be a fit. We have, like I said, we're an employee driven program. So we're always, mm-hmm, looking to our own employees to suggest,
sure,
organizations in their towns or,
you know,
they think, mm-hmm, could be of interest. And then again, we have a lot of, you know, organizations that we've had, you know, long term partnerships with them and that we, you know, have a great connectivity and of what they do.
Is there any experience that you've had, as I'm sure you have given a lot of, it must be a huge task for you to organize all these programs. And as you say, if in addition you're keeping track so you can recognize people, that's a pretty big undertaking for you.
Well, we're very fortunate, again, that, you know, our leadership at Independence Blue Cross believes in the Blue Crew and believes in these programs, you know, that we have a system that helps us to track, you know, and promote these opportunities and for people to be able to log the time. That has helped tremendously to have that little bit of, you know, infrastructure to facilitate. But again, it's very, very rewarding to be able to connect with people and see them, you know, realize these passions, whether it's someone who's a long time volunteer. And I know you mentioned you had, you know, one or two of those on the show before, who do so much and are so passionate, to someone who's, you know, a brand new employee, maybe new to the workforce, and being able to, connect them to, you know, to volunteering, you know, starting through the Blue Crew. I feel like people, you know, once you do it one time and you see, you know, how good you feel and the impact that you made, that it will never be the last time. You know, you want to come back, and people come back and say, I want to do more. How can I do more? And it grows from there. So it's very special.
Courtney, it's so easy to listen to you and want to jump in and help. Is there a standout event or day that you've ever had that you say, wow, I'm in the right place with all the situations you've volunteered in? I'm sure there's so many days that you left with a warm spot in your heart having done it.
There are so many. Coming up in September, we call them Gives Back Days, and that's really our, you know, a mobilization around a lot of different organizations in Philadelphia and, you know, our surrounding counties, and you know, really getting people out to volunteer, you know, across that month. So that's very busy, and that's very rewarding. Again, as I said, it's very, very rewarding, you know, to see someone who's new to volunteering have that experience and what they come away with it. I think that's a very rewarding, you know, element to be able to see, and in a small way help connect somebody to be able to do that.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to learn more about the Blue Crew, I know it's pretty much your own brothers and sisters at Independence. But if somebody wanted to learn about it and maybe say, boy, they help NANA or Cradles to Crayons, or how would they know where the opportunities might be?
In reaching out to an organization.
Yeah, if they want to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would go, you know, right to those organizations' websites. They most, since they do, you know, have, you know, use volunteers regularly to perform their operations, most of them will have, you know, a volunteer, you know, button or banner, you know, front and center, and it's really easy to click and learn more. Sometimes they'll even have like an actual portal where you can go and register, you know, pick a date, pick a shift, right, and
Perfect.
Sign up right then and there.
So
they
it's
make
easy.
It really easy. They make it really easy. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for the beautiful work that you do. And I want to say a special thank you to Independence Blue Cross and Dr. Daria LaRocca and Ms. Courtney McDade for sharing all this great information and really helping people realize how wonderful it is for you as a volunteer and how easy it can be. And as you say, Dario, you can pick and choose. There's no pressure. It's rewarding for you, and it's fun and really heartwarming. So thanks for joining us today, and I can't wait to hear how the fall goes with all your signups. Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor every Saturday at 5 p.m. here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Listen to this show again or any of our shows on Audacy.com. AUDACY.com. Thanks to our exclusive sponsor, Independence Blue Cross, for their continued support and for sharing such helpful information on our show today about volunteering. We also appreciate our association with Helio.com. That's HEALIO.com, the medical information platform with the most current medical and health news. Next week, we welcome the return of our friend, Dr. Bruce Brode, dermatologist extraordinaire from the University of Penn, to talk about the heartbreak of psoriasis. The month of June brought us more listeners than ever. Please invite family and friends to tune into Your Radio Doctor and follow us on social media. Send questions or topics that you'd like us to address, or send the story of a real champion whom we can highlight. Friends, our country witnessed a horrifying event last Saturday when a sniper had open access to kill. More than ever, please remember to pray for peace and safety in our world, peace in our country, peace in our families, and in each of our own hearts. God bless all of you, and God bless America. This is Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, wishing you a happy, healthy, and safe week with the ones you love. Always here to remind you that your health is your wealth.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross. To contact Dr. Marianne and to listen to today's show as well as past shows, visit yourradiodoctor.com. This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.